Call the March 6th Committee of the Whole to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandria.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor is excused. Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For those of you new to Committee of the Whole, it's an opportunity for the Common Council to take a look at proposals and have discussions about what's in front of them. But it's intended for that purpose. Therefore, there is no citizens' comment period for normally agenda. So we did call the roll, and we do have a quorum. Move on to item 2, status report on Ballpark Commons. Mr. Zimmerman. Mr. Hertzberg, do the introduction.
Real quick, at the time of the February 7th Common Council meeting, there was a request to get an update on the status of the project. So at the February 1st meeting, I came forward and provided a staff update. At that time, mentioned that we were trying to schedule the Ballpark Commons to come in and do a larger presentation. We're adopting the committee of the whole, so we're happy to have our guests here tonight, and we'll let them run through an update on where they're at in the status of the project.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me okay?
Try that one, Mike.
How's this better?
That's better.
Okay, Mike Zimmerman, Ballpark Commons, for the record, Sandy. Good to see everybody. I want to thank the Common Council for inviting us out to do a presentation, which is an update. I mean, the last, I know it seems slow, kind of moving. I feel that as well, but we've made a lot of really good progress since we had our last meeting, which was in September, when you guys approved the concept for the TIF. Our focus, I would say, largely has been about around trying to maximize value, but also making sure that everything we do takes in mind, you know, the safety and the you know, the desires of the citizens. And the safety is kind of a big one, right? Because we sit in a landfill, so truly trying to understand what the landfill is, what it isn't, what the potential solutions are. I'd say that's sort of been the biggest delay in time. So the work to date was we've had really deep conversations and have done additional analysis with Sigma, who's leading our group on understanding the DNR, and I'll let Dave from Sigma here talk in a bit. But also we've had really deep conversations with Milwaukee County, because right now they own the property. And what we do there it requires us to have meaningful conversations. And as we think about developing on that property, you know, the current lease that we've got with those folks doesn't facilitate our long-term ambition. So we've had to have deep conversations with Milwaukee County. And also we have had deep conversations with the market. We've had really significant conversations with potential tenants. And we can't tell you who they are tonight. We can sort of categorically talk about the types of people that we're thinking about bringing. So what you're going to see today is sort of the latest and greatest around the new master plan. So just to kind of frame the team, so other people that are on the team, Dick Lincoln, who's sort of leading the charge on all things development, is here tonight. Blair Williams has been very informative on both the apartment piece as well as sort of the retail component. As I said, Sigma is sort of our DNR expert. We hired JSD to do our civil. They're here tonight to ask any questions around civil. Joe Lee and Associates has sort of finalized the master plan and will be leading the architecture on the real estate piece, or excuse me, the apartments. Also is going to be doing a couple other projects. And Trito is also doing some of the architecture related to the office building. And then there's probably one or two other architects, a landscape designer, Durham Hill, who you've worked with in the past. So that's sort of the core team. Obviously, Greg Marceau and I still remain partners in all of this. So what I want to do is talk about the agenda that we've got set up for you guys tonight. The first thing we're going to talk about is environmental update. Then I'll give an update on our conversations with the Milwaukee County. We'll talk then about the master plan on the north side. Then we'll everything from the plan, the architecture that we're thinking about, the types of tenants that we're thinking about that we've talked to, and then we'll go to the south side of Rawson. And then we'll kind of wrap it up with miscellaneous topics that are still outstanding. So without further ado, Dave, if you don't mind maybe introducing Sigma, yourself, and the work that we've been doing in terms of environmental stuff.
Okay. My name is Dave Scherzer with the Sigma Group, and our primary task and involvement with this project is the assessment of the environmental situations that occurred on this site, as well as reviewing all the substantial amount of information and work that's been done over the course of years. And then primarily the more important part is when we want to construct new facilities on this development site, what we need to do to go through to secure WDNR approval. So I think there should be some slides. So the What I'm going to try and do is just give about 50 years of history in about two slides. So I don't want to go into a lot of detail. What this slide is an aerial photograph, and I think this is from 1951. And what it represents is on the south side of Crystal Ridge, you can see that there is a scar. That's a landfill. In our vernacular, and what we've commonly referred this to is the WSDOT property. Which one? Which is this area right here. This is Old Crystal Ridge Road. This is a quarry that was mined, ceased operations in mid-50-ish about that time. Next slide, please. This is a slide from 1967 and represents the rest of the development here. You can see over here, this has already been filled up. Highway 36 has been built over that other gravel mine or gravel pit, whatever you want to call it. All this scar area here is essentially all have been mined and disturbed. Gravel removed and subsequently filled with various types of debris. Next slide, please. This is a difficult slide to see. I thought it would turn out better. However, some of the this, if you can see, there's a little black dotted line that shows the extent of fill. It basically follows the same pattern as everything that was outlined in the previous slide. So primarily almost everything north of Crystal Ridge has fill on it, sands. This little area, isthmus of property right down in here, is undisturbed, unmined property. So from a development and a regulatory standpoint, is a little bit more quick history, is this landfill ceased operation in DNR terms in about 1981. Through years of investigation and consultation with DNR, the county entered into a closure plan finally, and that plan was implemented in the mid-90s. And that plan primarily consisted of addressing direct contact and surface water runoff through a cap that's been subsequently placed over all the areas that were disturbed in the past. In addition to the cap, there is a methane mitigation system that surrounds the perimeter of the landfill area, primarily to protect this development here. There's a methane system that's there. It's connected to another system here that goes on the west side of 76th Street. That's to control methane migration from the landfill where there's a risk receptor. And the risk receptors here are any public dwellings or residential structures. In addition to that, the entered negotiated closure was to continue an ongoing groundwater monitoring program on a series of about, guessing somewhere close to 30 different monitoring wells around the perimeter and off-site of the property. That's down to now a semi-annual basis, along with residential drinking water wells, primarily on the subdivision to the west of the fill area. The process in order to develop on this site is driven by two factors. One, this is in DNR's terms a closed landfill, and in order to construct on a landfill, there's two things that need to be gone through from a regulatory perspective. The first major one is we'd have to, when we disturb the cap is anywhere from 4 to 10 feet of engineered fill with a certain hydraulic conductivity that was placed over the site not to allow ponding on. So if you're going to modify the cap, you need to get a cap modification plan approved by the WDNR. The cap will be disturbed in construction activities as simple grading to accommodate parking lots. Anytime you scratch the surface, you need to get a cap modification plan. What that plan consists of is an engineer document that is presented to DNR and says, here's the areas we are going to disturb. And when we're done disturbing these areas, what are we going to do to reestablish the cap to its either existing performance level or actually enhance the functionality of the cap? And that's a plan that needs to be approved by DNR. The process is you have a plan, you implement the plan, and then you verify the plan during construction, and that's essentially a cap modification plan. Where it's more substantive is when we want to add structures, particularly structures that have a propensity for vapors to accumulate. And that would be in any of the commercial buildings that are proposed for this project. Because we're going to construct and actually add on or add to a structure, we're not only disturbing the cap, we need to go through a second process with DNR, which is an exemption to construct on a historic landfill. By code, it's prohibited to construct on a landfill unless you seek the exemption. The exemption process is a process that DNR requires anyone who would like to construct on an abandoned fill site to go through. And there's primarily four elements that DNR is concerned with when you construct on a landfill. Once again, it's a direct contact with the fill waste, which is part of the cap management plan. So understanding the soil quality and having a plan on how you're going to deal with it during construction, and then ultimately, more importantly, is after construction is completed, that the site is restored to equal or better performance standards than we started. In this particular situation here, the methane that we know exists from the fill is a concern and probably the primary concern from DNR's perspective. So wherever a structure is going to be placed that's going to be in contact with the surface, if it's a building, if it's a concession stand, anything that has a slab on grade, DNR needs to understand, and we as the engineering firm responsible is to understand what the methane, if methane is present beneath the site, what the methane concentration level is, and probably more importantly, what its generation rate is. And in order to do that, we actually conduct investigations and run methane monitoring tests as well as methane generation tests over periods of week to actually determine the quality and quantity of the gases that potentially could be emitted. Armed with that information, you develop a methane mitigation system, and in most cases, and probably this case included, most of the structures on the commercial side are going to be in the area where fill was not placed. So we don't expect fill methane to be generated from that unit. However, we do suspect that methane has the potential to migrate from the fill mass itself. So what part of the mitigation plan would be to develop mitigation systems, vapor extraction systems enhanced on the perimeter of the methane to prevent it migrating to the buildings. And because these buildings are going to be occupied with humans, the requirement will be that we'll have probably an active mitigation system under each one of the buildings that operates independently from the abatement systems on the perimeter. The systems themselves ensure that methane does not migrate into the buildings, and they're alarmed, so there's quite a bit of safety that's built into these. DNR has a redundant requirement on these systems, installed numerous of these systems throughout Wisconsin. After methane, the next issue is really going to be associated with the construction. If, in fact, in these areas where we do decide to construct, if we disturb the cap, and underneath the cap there's materials that need to be removed to facilitate construction, then that's also developed in a soil management plan. Based on the quantity and quality of the soil characteristics, it will either be relocated within the fill mass itself and recapped, and if it's not suitable for that, or we decide to not to do that for a particular reason, it would go to another licensed landfill somewhere. That's all developed once we truly really understand the rest of the development plan, the specific layout of each of the structures, the utilities. So when we know where sewer is going to traverse through the site, where we know where electrical is going to traverse through the site, where we know water supply, all the areas that will penetrate, or at least at the minimum we know they'll penetrate the cap, and if it gets into the fill mass, we have to design systems within those utility corridors to prevent vapor migration through those. So that's something as the next speakers start to lay out the exact locations of where these buildings are proposed to be, that's when we'll actually go and physically gather the information specific to those site locations so that we develop building and site-specific information to design the specific remedial systems that address the situation. The final issue that DNR will always look at an exemption to construct will be groundwater. So part of our efforts will be continuing to address groundwater issues. It's been monitored for quite a few years. The better news here is that this development will be utilizing a public water supply. It won't be on production wells, so water quality and drinking water quality will not be an issue on these developments. At least that's my understanding of the proposed development.
Mr. Scherzer, can you describe for me some of Sigma's experience dealing with construction on landfills?
Okay. Probably the biggest...
Mitigation,
pardon?
Mitigation specific.
Sure. And it's... Most of our experience is in southeast Wisconsin, particularly in Milwaukee County. Half the city of Milwaukee is built on fill. They filled in the lake. They filled in the river bluffs, the Menominee Valley. So I'll cite two quick examples of our experience. One on a micro scale. My corporate office building is on 13th and Canal Street in Menominee Valley. That was all built on fill on an abandoned ship canal, soft soils, methane-generating gases. We built there. We only have a passive system where we have enough built-in ventilation underneath the building itself that allows natural release of methane into the environment. So on a commercial basis, we have done hundreds of apartment complexes. that are built on old industrial sites that have fill on, not much different than the fill here in many cases. And all those systems, we have a redundant system that's put in. One is to protect the source or try and remediate the source of the methane itself. And as a backup, each individual apartment building has its own separate operating soil venting system. An easy expression to describe it would be a radon system in each structure to ensure. And there's a rigorous DNR protocol that goes through to ensure that those sites are actually doing it what they're designed. A similar project to this, but on a much larger scale, is we were the engineer of record and the design engineer during the construction of Miller Park. Miller Park is built on a landfill. The infrastructure portion was excavated on that development, and the waste fill material was actually removed, so we didn't have a methane-generating unit underneath the structure itself. However, methane was still being generated from the surrounding fill mass, from the, where all the parking lots are and everything. That's all old landfill. So there we put two types of systems. We put a barrier system that prevents the lateral migration of methane from the fill area into the Miller Park structure itself. And Miller Park is more than just a baseball field when underneath it there's a small city that exists underneath the in the tunnels of Miller Park, right below all the seating. So in there we have methane monitor systems that are set up that if in fact the vapor barrier does not do its job and methane comes into the build, alarms go off. And most of that building under there is ventilated by the facilities operation of its heating and air conditioning system and air exchange systems required because vehicles are driven underneath that structure. In addition to that, on the Miller Park, we have a series on the outside of the actual clay vapor barrier that's installed. There's a series of passive vents that passively let methane vent out. So all the little parking islands that surround the stadium itself all also serve as methane venting systems. So we've taken them from small-scale individual little buildings to the size of Miller Park that's actually built on a landfill.
Mr. Zimmerman, this is your presentation, but I see a couple aldermen want to ask questions. Do you want to do it? Okay. Alderman Mayor.
First of all, just for the record, who is your company, and what is your name again, and what is your expertise?
Okay. The legal name of our company is the Sigma Group, Inc. Most people just refer to us as Sigma. My name is Dave Scherzer. I'm the president and principal of Sigma, and I've been practicing in the environmental field for almost 40 years.
And specifically, what does Sigma specialize in?
We have two separate but combined groups. It our primarily and largest is subsurface investigation of contaminated sites that have impacts with groundwater, soil, and vapors. We also have an extensive civil engineering department where that group does classical civil engineering, and probably more importantly, in a case like this, we understand how sites get engineered and the engineered and construction process of redeveloping a site, and we integrate the civil design services and attributes that you can take into effect that reduce the cost of development but yet still ensure that the site gets designed properly.
Thank you. How long have you been in business?
The Sigma Group itself is a offshoot of another company that has been in business for about 45 years. So prior to this, we were called CBC, and then we spun off in 1980 the Sigma Group from that organization, and that parent organization no longer exists.
And you mentioned quite a bit of the safety standards that you apply to the buildings that are built. What about the surrounding structures that are already in existence? Can you touch on the safety that's provided to them?
Well, that's part of one of the things that DNR makes us as when we decide to construct. Are we going to be disturbing the fill mass, or what's going to be the effect of the construction on the surrounding area? And in order to do that, that's when we gather our information and see what the methane generation rates are. There's quite a substantial methane mitigation system now that is around the perimeter of the site where there are receptors. The receptors in this case are the residential dwellings on the west and along 76th Street. The development here will require the relocation and re-engineering of the existing, we call it the blower and the flare, which is the area that, excuse my engineering term, that sucks all the air or the methane from around the site, and then it's lit with a flare to burn off the methane. So when we redo our development, not only will we need to augment the existing systems, we'll look at opportunities to ensure that they're functioning as designed and probably enhance their operational efficiencies. The system was put in almost 20-plus years ago, and technology has changed, and understanding the site conditions better have changed, so it'll afford us the opportunity to continue to operate a methane mitigation system just more efficiently.
Okay, and you touched on the groundwater, and you mentioned that the site is going to be supplied with municipal water, but can you talk about the inferences to those on the well water in the area and the groundwater safety and what things will be put in place to make sure that groundwater stays safe?
The site's been, you know, it has a cap on it. That's probably the number one engineering control that one can address when you have a fill mass. And the primary reason for that is you don't have infiltration of additional precipitation to cause any waste that's in the site to leach out and enter into the groundwater system. On this site here, primarily groundwater flows from this direction to the north and to the northwest, away from these residential structures here. There is a slight southeast component of the flow. There's a hydrological divide that goes about somewhere in this area where this lower corner flows a little bit to the southeast. So from a residential perspective, the flow is away from the residential structures here on the west side. This side is all serviced by municipal water, so there's, to my knowledge, there's no potable wells that are onto the southeast of the site.
So surface water is one issue, but what about the water that travels deeper down?
I'm referring to groundwater on my last explanation.
Okay.
So it flows. Surface water flows in all different directions here because it's basically a mound and you don't want any ponding. The civil engineers have to tackle how they're going to manage the stormwater with development, with the increased stormwater that's going to be developed from the impervious surfaces. So we'll work in conjunction with the folks from the civil engineering firm to make sure that the channels and ultimately the ponds that are going to be required are engineered properly and located in the spot so that we won't be impacting the fill mass at all.
What about somebody, what would you tell somebody that has a well in the subdivision there on the left on the east side?
These?
Yes.